protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
You're locked into Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss sports podcast with Ben Garrett and Billy Embody of the Ole Miss Spirit. Hello again, friends, and welcome inside, at least for me, not for Michael Katz of the Daily Journal, the Riverland Roofing Studios. That little house up top, riverlandroofing.com for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297. It is Talk of Champions on this Monday morning, April 7th, 2025. I survived Tornado Mageddon here in New Albany, Michael. It got really, really bad. Had at least three tornadoes touch down all around us, but we're here. And Ole Miss football going back with the fourth full week of spring football practices starting tomorrow. Got basketball news that we're going to start with here at the top. But first and foremost, it's good to see you, my friend Michael Katz. How we doing?
I'm good, man. Glad to hear you're doing well. Tornado season's very weird for me because I did not grow up with that. I grew up with earthquakes and all that kind of stuff in California, but it sounds bad. But the good thing about an earthquake is you never know when it's happening, so you can't worry about it. It's just oh, it's an earthquake. But tornadoes are scary stuff. There's the sirens and there's the news and there's a lot of dread there. So glad to hear you're doing well. I did hear that it got pretty bad around you. So good to hear that. Everything's okay with you.
I'm a notoriously stubborn tornado guy. Okay. And what I mean by that is I've born and raised in Mississippi. So for me, that was just a Thursday that the sirens are on. We're under a tornado watch warning until about so-and-so, you go about with your life. But this one, it was pretty intense, man. Because like I said, me and the girls, we're all in our little storm shelter room, which is just my toilet room. it got really musty really quick, and my girls are perfect. But all I could think was, is if I'm going to go out, I'm going to go out on my feet. Eventually, I just got up and started doing Hodor from Game of Thrones, holding the door for him, be like, Hodor, right? Trying to make sure that because I didn't want to die sitting in my toilet room with my beautiful daughters and my dog. But anyway, we're here, and Ole Miss sports continues to roll on. They got baseball in Kentucky. Ole Miss has moved up to number 6.
I don't know how they got that series in, by the way.
It's pretty impressive, to be honest with you. The last day they moved first pitch, didn't they move three or four times? I mean, it was 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. Now Ole Miss baseball taking 2 of 3 against Kentucky. Mitch Sanford deserves all kinds of credit because if he doesn't make that throw, Ole Miss is walking out of Lexington with a series loss. And they're not ranked number 6 today, but they continue to roll on. So good things happening across the board, and Ole Miss baseball appears at least to be back on the right side of things after 2 years of absolutely abysmal baseball. Ole Miss is looking more like itself and a regional host, potentially at worst, a number 2 somewhere. They're headed back to the postseason currently, at least where things stand right now. Let's see if it stays that way. But some big, big basketball news, and spring football continues to roll on its fourth full week. But big, big basketball news, a double dip on Sunday, Michael Katz. Malik Dia, after Corey Chess, the transfer from LSU, announces his commitment to Ole Miss, the first portal addition for Ole Miss basketball, and what will be a busy, busy transfer process for Ole Miss. Still got about 10 spots left to fill if you consider the high school players that Ole Miss signed, 2 4-star prospects in the fall. Eduardo Klofke's coming back, Robert Coward too, so that could make it one less spot. But it all started with Malik Dia and your first transfer commitment. Both of those things happened within a couple of minutes of each other Sunday night. What was your initial reaction when you hear first that Corey Chess has been added? Because my initial impression of that was, that's one of the only things Ole Miss did not have last year. But also, they don't have all those other players that they had last year because they all graduated and moved on. But a big addition, and also Malik Dia, that's kind of, to me, where it all started, right? Because if you can get Malik Dia back, things fall into place. And for him to do it so nonchalantly was money. It was perfect. And Ole Miss basketball, at least as far as a start for the offseason, maybe gotten off to a slower start than we anticipated, but what a start now that they've finally gotten going, right?
I mean, keeping Malik Dia is as good as getting a high caliber transfer, just in terms of, I mean, what college basketball is right now. It's as much as it is, it's adding players, it's retaining players. And he showed so much this year that he was probably going to have opportunities to go places, whether that was the pros, whether it was to other schools, whatever it may be. But when you have that guy, again, with everything that they're losing, in terms of veterans and guys that you know that we've seen play a lot, having one like that come back, I think, is just so big. Because one, you know what you're getting, and he's a guy who was getting better as the year went on, and really seemed to figure out SEC play, and really looked like a guy who can be an impact player in his second year back in the SEC. Obviously, started Vanderbilt. But two, I think that when you have a guy like that, it probably makes it easier to build a roster out, because you have a guy. Like, if you are a transfer and you're saying, dang, yeah, I know Ole Miss went to the Sweet 16, but they lost everyone. Well, if you have that guy coming back, I feel like it probably makes it a little bit easier to say, hey, you know what? I think Ole Miss can still be really good. Let me go be part of this. So I think it's obviously good because he's a really good player, but I think it's huge because it makes it that much more of an attractive place to go right now. When you know that when you have Malik Dia, a very, very high caliber player, why wouldn't you want to go there and be that next piece that can help get this thing back to the Sweet 16 and maybe beyond?
I love the pairing of Corey Chest with him in the front court, because again, glass cleaning, rim protection, just stuff that they didn't have on a consistent basis last year.
Oh, that's Quinn Rebound? We never talked about that.
I know, right? Like, know. Never.
That never came up.
Never, ever. It was really, for me, the biggest takeaway after I kind of took some time to digest was, it speaks a lot to, you know, you pay lip service to the culture stuff that Chris Beard talks about. But this one really, I mean, it's proof positive. It's showing that what Chris Beard preaches, he also practices, because they lost everybody. Like, everybody. This will be a completely new team outside of Eduardo Klofke, Malik Dia, and maybe Robert Coward. John Bowl is in the portal. They lost all of those veterans. When you saw Malik Dia crying after the Sweet 16 loss to Michigan State, 73-70, a great game, it told you what it meant to him, of course, but it could have also – it felt like a little bit of an ending, right? Yeah. It was like, oh, man, Malik's feeling it. You know, this was a special one-off, and he's going to go test the NBA draft waters. To happen so soon, and for him to come back and trust Beard when the roster is – on ground zero right now, I think, considering how hard he was coached in particular all year, because I think really Malik Dia, Chris Beard was hardest on him, I would say. It's arguable, but I think he was hardest on him of all the major contributors last year. For him to come back without looking at what the product could be, it's all theoretical right now, and to do it early, considering that, you know, usually these things – especially if they're going to consider the NBA draft, which is what he did last year, this would stretch farther and further into the summer, or through the spring and on into the summer. And yet here he is making a declaration. I think it's just a nice feather in the cap, too, after all the things, after this season and after all the things with Texas A&M and all the good vibes that have happened with Chris Beard. It's another example of, oh, no, he's figured something out here at Ole Miss. He's creating a place where people want to come. Yes, but also want to stay. And for him, for Malik Dia, the guy that he really rode all year, to stick around without any concept of who his teammates are going to be, I think is an incredible testament to Chris Beard and what he's building.
Absolutely. And I think it's also a testament to who Malik Dia is, because like a lot of guys, when they get ridden hard like that, when they get coached up, they don't want that. They want the guy who's going to tell them the things that they want to hear, not the things that they need to hear. But Malik Dia, we've learned so much about him in the last like couple of weeks, just talking to him and seeing his raw emotion. And I mean, he's an incredibly like insightful, thoughtful young man. And just hearing him talk about what this program has meant and what it meant to have Chris Beard, like, believe in him, like, coach him hard, not just to coach him hard, but because he knew he could get more from him. Like, not every player is willing to go through that because it's hard. It's uncomfortable, but it's a credit to Malik Dia, and it's a credit to Beard for knowing how to push the right buttons with the right guys, because you are getting a player who was better than the moment he walked in on campus, and is got to keep getting better, and is probably going to be a better player next year. And it's been a really good pairing. And again, it, like you said, it sort of does go back to, you know, it's you get a place where people want to go, but you're also getting them to stay. And look, you did it with Matt Morrell last year when he could have left. Jamin, all those guys, you know, those guys could have left after, you know, after Kermit got fired, but they saw the vision. And I think, you know, when you win like Ole Miss has, especially did over the last few weeks, I think that vision, it becomes a lot easier to see, and it's a lot easier to believe. I think they always believed it, but now you have like proof of concept. Like, yeah, if you do these things, like, look where this program can go. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's not only do they want to go there, they want to stay, because like, look at what you can do. Like, look what, like, you can go to the Sweet 16 at Ole Miss now. That mm-hmm. was not a thing.
Tell me about it, man. I mean, look, I've said it over and over again. I don't want to belabor the point, but let's just put it this way, man. I remember the old days and what Ole Miss basketball used to celebrate, because this all seems so pie in the sky. And they did it, and not only did they do it in an impressive way, they kicked the door down as they did it and really played a great game against Michigan State. Just, it's a good basketball game they lost. Sometimes you just lose. But it shows you how close they are to being in that place. Now, you have to rebuild the roster completely, but to start with Malik Dia, Corey Chest, Eduardo Klofke, Tylus Jordan, and Patton Pinkins, that's a good start. That's a good enough start, but obviously they're going for more. I think it's another important thing to note that for him to make this commitment, considering what the culture is now as far as around college basketball and the numbers being thrown around, Ole Miss obviously took care of him
yeah.
and is going to make sure that he's getting compensated at his fair market value. However, kids are getting paid well above and beyond that right now. It just takes one team to fall in love with you. You look at Yaxel Lindenborg from UAB. I mean, he had multiple multi-million dollar offers for a year. Chris Beard is figuring out a way to walk that line in this current realm of college basketball, which I think is a testament to, first of all, how good of a coach he is, but also how critical it was to bring Chris Beard on in this, because I mean, I can't imagine Ole Miss basketball operating as it always had in this new environment. Talk about irrelevancy. I just, there's no way to get your head up above water. And Chris Beard has more than done that. He's got the best player arguably at the end of the run last year, the Sweet 16 coming back and pairing him with 2 4-star players. And even when former McDonald's All-American John Bolt gets into the portal, there isn't this widespread panic because there's this trust in Chris Beard because he's good at what he does. So I think that's notable too. I mean, you know this just as well as I do. I mean, this current climate in recruiting and the portal and transfers and the money being thrown around is absolutely insane. So to get this done and to do it in such a, yeah, of course I'm coming back way, I think speaks again to the solid footing that this program's currently on.
I think it's getting harder and harder to recruit, like, to a program so much as it is to recruit to, like, money and you know, professional aspirations and all these sorts of things. But Ole Miss has done a really good job of selling program through it all. And I think that seems to be kind of rare right now, especially like you said, with the money getting thrown around, guys going to places solely because of the money, not because of what can you do with this program? How can this program help you? And again, like you said, it's a testament to what Chris Beard's doing.
Yeah. And it's going to be
sell it that way.
Yeah, and it's going to be a really cool team to see put together around Malik Dia. Again, the guy that was ridden so hard because of what he could be, even going to the next level. Now it's like, yep, you're the guy. You've gotten to this place. Now it's time to take it to another. It's an impressive, impressive hold. And like you said, just as important as landing Corey Chest from LSU. Corey Chest is the piece to go alongside with Malik Dia. Not to say he's not another potential next level plays. You got to figure out the free throw shooting because my man Corey just can't shoot free throws, but he can rebound and he can glass clean, do all the things that Ole Miss just didn't have last year. And pairing him with Malik Dia, what a start. Edwardo Klofke is going to be in the starting lineup next year. But they've got a number of other players that they're going to be going after or are going after in the portal, even though they've missed out on a bunch of others. I've written about this at the Ole Miss Spirit a lot, omspirit.com and affiliate of On3. If you look for recruiting tidbits, just read our stories. I put tidbits, anything's behind a paywall. I promise you I'm putting recruiting tidbits in probably. And Ole Miss, like I wrote in the story regarding Malik Dia, now has 10 or so spots left to fill. I say so because Robert Coward signed a pair of four-star top 120-25 recruits in Tylus Jordan Patton. Pinkins Patton is the son of Al Pinkins, Ole Miss assistant. But if you look at additional targets, Pop Isaacs, I think that one's trending toward – it's just not going to happen. I think the medicals at this point – he came to on a visit a week ago. And usually what that means, and when you get the word that, oh, yeah, this is going to move quickly, we've seen how in this current culture this works. I mean, you would have assumed that Pop Isaacs would have been committed by the end of the week at the very latest to be getting into another week. I think speaks to that might not be happening anymore. And if it doesn't happen – so be it, you know, as part of it. He played for Mark Adams, Ole Miss assistant at Texas Tech. I'm not saying it's done, but the fact that it isn't in the commitment ledger or column for Ole Miss yet, I think is a telltale sign. So additional targets we're watching, monitoring, Augusto Casilla from Butler, Jason Pierre from Jacksonville State, who I think is going big blue. I mean, that was the CUSA player of the year. I think he's going big blue nation. We'll see. Corey Washington from Wichita State, Lamar Wilkerson from Sam Houston, Keza Giffa from High Point, Jabari McGee from UAB, Makai Mason from Washington, Darian Ford from Arkansas State, Abdi Bashir, who's not coming here, but he's from Mount – I can't remember where he's from. He's probably going to Kansas. Chase Forte from South Dakota, Adante Holloman from Georgia Southern, Lajay Jordan from St. Bonaventure, and Tayton Conaway from Troy. So there's some other names to be monitoring. It's going to be a busy, busy time for Chris Beard and company over the coming weeks, but what a huge, huge, huge – top two, first two dominoes to fall with Malik Dia and Corey Chess added there. So big basketball news, but I don't just bring on my man Michael Katz to talk basketball. I had to bring Michael Katz on because typically my co-host is Billy Embody. Billy is out today. He's got life business. I've got life business coming up this week, so I will be in and out as well. We'll have a new episode of Talk of Champions every single day here on the Talk of Champions Podcast Network, also on the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, affiliate of On3. Sign up today for $1. Michael Katz, he works for the Daily Journal, the Tupelo, Mississippi Daily Journal, covering your Ole Miss Rebels. And it's not just basketball. It's football, too. I have been sitting with my friend every Tuesday. He's been shocked how much he's seen me, probably. I'm sitting beside him every Tuesday after practice, our practice availability. And today I figured since he was coming on to sit in for my man Billy Embody, let's do some spring football eye catchers. Are you ready for this, Michael Katz?
I think so.
Good. You should be. It's very simple. It's just as it sounds. The players that have truly caught your eye this spring, and it can be Austin Simmons, that's fine, but that's not really what I'm getting at here. What I'm getting at is players that maybe weren't on your radar or that all that much that have just jumped off the field, that have really caught your eye, really standing out to you after three full weeks, now the fourth full week of spring football practices. I'll lead it off just because I didn't tell Katz what we were doing today. I just said, hey, man, can you come on the pod with me? I love just, you know, surprising Katz with stuff. Any guest, really, because it's more fun that way. But the very first one for me, number one Ole Miss spring football eye catcher, Patrick Kudus, not because he looks all that imposing physically. If you see him outside of pads, he looks just like a guy. He looks just like a dude, Katz. But in pads, he looks the part, of course, and also the versatility he has. Bryson Sanders is the starting center if he's healthy, but he hasn't been healthy for much of all the spring. He's back getting that way. He's out of the black jersey as of Saturday. We'll see if that holds. But when Patrick Kudus has to slide to center in place of Bryson Sanders when he's out, that offensive line takes a totally different look about it, and it doesn't look good. So to have Patrick Kudus strongly in position at that right guard spot beside Bryson Sanders, who's the linchpin to that, right tackle will be, at least for now, Jaden Williams, left tackle Diego Pounds, left guard PJ Wilkins from Charlotte. That first unit, you see the vision, right? You see the vision. The vision starts to break up and become much more blurry whenever they do have injuries. And they've had three linemen, three of those starting five, Diego, Jaden Williams, and Bryson Sanders all missing live practice reps because of whatever injuries that they might have. So number one for me, he doesn't look like a lot. He didn't to me. When I first saw him, I was like, that's Patrick Kutis. I didn't mean it ugly. It's just like I was surprised. He looked very normal. And yes, he's good. Yes, he's valuable. And that versatility, I don't know where they would be without him now that I've seen the offensive line, which I think for now is still the biggest problem area for Ole Miss offensively. Defensively, it's the secondary. It's not close. But right now, offensive line, the portal opening up for 10 days here soon, they would do well if there's an option or two available to add more depth to that room. So Patrick Kutis is number one. It's caught my eye as far as what he's meant for Ole Miss up front. Your number one Ole Miss eye catcher this spring is who?
Well, in terms of literally catching my eye, it's Caleb Odom. I mean, you just cannot miss that guy. Yeah. He looks different, man. It's just they don't build them like that. They you know, every once every few years, you get a guy who looks like that. And, you know, obviously you got to put it together and it's got to work in the game. But, you know, listen, he was a five-star recruit for a reason. He looks different than anybody they have out there. And we know about the big transfers like Trey Wallace and John Stribling and Deuce Alexander and all these guys. But man, if they could get something from Caleb Odom, sooner than later, that sort of athleticism and body type just does not come along very often. And so, but yeah, I mean, literally catching my eye, because you just look and you're just like, oh my God, like that is just a different sized human being. Mm-hmm. So that's the one that's literally caught my eye for number one.
This is Cali. With C Spire's blazing fast nationwide 5G network, she's got her fans in the palm of her hands. Live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone wherever she is. Out there, wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at C Spire, customer inspired.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
It's impossible not to notice him because I would say he's a carbon copy physically of Trey Harris, but I would argue that from a starting point, he's in a better spot than Trey was. Now, his production isn't Trey's. He's got to go out there and actually do the thing. But if you walked out there, Ole Miss fan today, and you try to just start watching, see what's going on, number four jumps off. It's impossible not to see him, and especially for a wide receiver group that's all new except for Caden Lee. They need him to be that guy. They need him to be that Y out, Y they can, or X out, Y they can really stretch the field for them like Trey Harris did. But I'm going to keep with wide receivers my second eye catcher, because not that he's not or wasn't a big time signee, he was. I mean, this is Harrison Wallace was signed from Penn State as their number one wide receiver, a team that, yes, wasn't pass happy, but went to the college football playoff. Huge addition. A little later, but hasn't been talked about quite as much as even Caleb Odom or Winston Watkins was almost an eye catcher for me, but I feel like I've talked about Winston Watkins every single time I come on here and talk about these things. So I wanted to go in a different direction. Harrison Wallace, that kid is here. He's not here to sit. When you watch him, he looks ready made. He looks the part of what if he plays the Y, if he does a little slot action like Juice did in the Gator Bowl. This kid right here could be their number one wide receiver in terms of his ready made ability. Crisp route running, he's got a great relationship too with Austin Simmons already. They've been working with each other. And I think that matters when you're breaking in a first year guy, when he hits those walls that Austin will inevitably hit as a first year, who will he look for? I think Harrison Wallace will be a top end option for him. And he's looked like you wanted him to look, if that makes sense. Like he looks like an instant impact player for an offense. And when you go sign portal kids, you're not looking for them to just come in and get their feet underneath them. No, you're signing free agents. Free agents are signed to step in and take over a spot that is needed. And Harrison Wallace looks like the free agent signing that you would go make if you needed a top-end wide receiver because you lost everybody else. I mean, he's looked really, really good. And I think that the pairing of Harrison Wallace with a more pass-happy offense with Lane Kiffin is going to open up his production even more, because this kid looks like, as far as passing the eye test, eye catching, he looks like he's going to hit the ground running. He already has. And so I wanted to keep in the wide receiver family. I've been really encouraged by those wide receivers, Kez. It's not just, you know, yeah, they lost everybody. Caden Lee's back, and it's a huge part of the room. But what you wanted to see out of Caleb Odom, what you wanted to see out of Harrison Wallace, what you wanted to see out of Winston Watkins, knowing that freshmen don't make impacts here at wide receiver for Ole Miss unless you're the outlier like Caden Lee, you've actually seen that, and that's been encouraging, because at the end of the day, Ole Miss has to be able to pass the ball efficiently and like nobody else, because that's what make Lane Kiffin's offense stick. So that's my second eye catcher, Harrison Wallace, kind of cheating off my man Michael Katz over there who picked Caleb Odom. Your second is who?
I'm going to go with Will Eccles.
Oh, that's a good one.
And I say that because, you know, it's obviously hard to gauge line play in the spring, just in terms of how hard they're going and who's there and who's not. But I think just like in terms of what they need from him, what they are going to need from him this year, just in terms of, you know, you talk about the wide receiver room losing everybody, that defensive line room loses four draft picks. Some of them are going to be picked very, very high. You are losing so much from that room. And I think Eccles, you know, we chatted with him for the first time. It was either last week or the week before. He seems to understand like what is asked of him, what they need from him. He also was honest. Like he said, last year was really hard because he's never sat on the bench in his life. That was like a learning experience for him. He's former offensive lineman, did not miss being an offensive lineman. He was very quick about that. I appreciate
love that too, because as a former offensive lineman, I felt it. Every word he said, it's like torture. Y'all getting a score touchdown, sack quarterbacks, picking guys off. All we get to do is get absolutely no credit and open the holes for you. So yeah, I that was the funniest part of that line of questioning, was when y'all got to the office. I could see like the old, you know, offense, because you got to have a certain mindset as an offensive lineman. And that man said, yeah, I'm done with it. Like, I'm never, ever, ever going back. Wait, you could be a millionaire left tackle. Don't care. I'm a defensive tackle. No, I'm playing. He's a defensive tackle through and through. But I loved that. I loved that he was, yeah, screw the offensive line, man. No one gets nothing for that, do they?
Yeah, no, that was great. But I just think you know, obviously he looks the part, you know, and he's a guy that, again, I think we've talked about before, but like this specific, like, I think this defensive line, obviously you brought in Prince Will and Womack, but like, I think this defensive line.
Hey, did you hear that's Princely's brother?
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you hear that?
Yeah. Crazy.
Sorry. Yeah. Sorry.
I've almost called him Princely so many times.
Well, it's funny because like I'm starting to feel bad for him. You know, like every time there's a new person shows up in the media room, they're like, "Oh, it's Princely." Yeah, you know, it's they don't even look alike to me, really. Like they look nothing
like.
There's no other than like Lane said, they have the same last name and their first name is separated by a few letters. It's kind of hilarious. But I think William Eccles is a great, great pick. He looks it. He's acting like it. He's got to be it. And Walter Nolan, as his replacement, stepping in for Walter Nolan at that three-tech spot. Walter Nolan, I wanted to bring this up because it excited me, Cats. He had a top 30 visit with your Dallas Cowboys on Friday. How about them Cowboys? This week's got the Carolina Panthers. Boo. He's got maybe the Cardinals. I can't remember all the other ones, but I'm not going to lie. The ears perked up. The ears perked up hearing Walter Nolan got a top 30 visit to the Cowboys, and that is what one William Eccles is now replacing, a guy who I think is still the likeliest bet, wouldn't you say, to be a first-round pick?
Yeah.
I think it's him. Jackson's probably moved into number two, though.
Yeah, I guess I think like going into it, before a whole offseason started, it was Walter Nolan, no-brainer, Trey Amos. And then I thought Princely was going to be a little bit higher when that whole thing started, but I guess his offseason maybe hasn't been as good as they would have liked. I still think he's a great player and he's going to make an impact wherever he goes. The guy can get after the quarterback, and that's like the most important thing that you can have in football. But yeah, I would say, but Jackson, his rise, like we're talking top 10 Jackson Dart now. Like it's several mock drafts have him in the top 20, top 25. It's, you know, he's going to the draft. You don't go to the draft unless you're feeling pretty good about it. Cause no one wants to be the guy who's left over in the green room.
I'm worried about Jalen Moreau.
Yeah, I saw that. That was an interesting one.
He's going to the draft. If you made me put betting odds on the guy that gets left in the green room, Jalen Milroe's got, I don't know, man. That seems a risk. It's a once in a lifetime. I don't care if I get picked or not. I'd want to just be there, you know? But after a while, it just becomes, you know, the kid not getting picked for dodgeball. Yeah. You know what I mean? So
then you become a meme, and then, like, yeah. You know, it's I do agree that it's something that's going to happen once in your life, and
you go
experience it and all that stuff, and maybe you do go in the first round.
Just saying, if you get to about 15, get out, just go find the room that doesn't have cameras. Go to the bathroom.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's the cameras, because man, every time there's a new team on the board, they just go straight to you, and it's you looking at your phone, praying somebody calls. It's like you feel bad for them.
No, I think like Jackson's floor is 21 to Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's really, of all the draft prospects that have built momentum for the NFL draft, find me one that has had more of a meteoric rise throughout this process, more so than Jackson Dart. You won't find one. So, yeah, he's going to the draft. He met with the Saints. Cass knows this. We met with the Saints, one-on-one, him and Kellen Moore in representation for the Saints. After Ole Miss Pro Day, they pick at 9. I mean, they're picking at 9. So not out of the realm of possibility that Jackson Dart is a top 10 pick. And then I think Trey Amos is the obvious number 3. I was interested when Princely said that his clock, he thinks, or at least his agent told him, this starts at 23, which is Green Bay. Hmm. That just seems so late for him. Yeah. I mean, this is a player that led Ole Miss and tied for the team leading sacks last year. But more than that, I mean – I don't know what when you mention his process, I don't understand what about his process has been necessarily negative in any way.
Yeah.
He ran a good 40. He's tested well. He's just, I don't understand what the knock on him is.
I think it's because like he didn't run like a 4.5. Like who's like James Pierce or whatever, the Tennessee kid ran like a 4.47, right? It blows you out of the water. Shamar Stewart, yeah. The A&M kid ran really fast. And I just think sometimes like, you know how it is. Like people get caught up in measurables, and it's like, look what the dude does on the field. He gets after the quarterback. He wins one-on-one. He's explosive to the quarterback. I don't care if he ran a 4.7. He knows how to get to the quarterback, and he's so quick with his hands. Like, yeah. I don't know, man. Pass rushers are, there are not a lot of elite ones out there. And if you can get 10 and a half sacks in the SEC, I think you're probably a pretty good one.
At the end of the day, watch the tape. There are a few that impacted play to play quite as much like Princely Umanmiele. And I'm not just talking because for Ole Miss. I mean, across college football, look at edge rushers and the impact on down the down. Princely Umanmiele was in a league unto himself. Now, the injury concerns, it would make sense. I would understand if people were like, well, you know, what happened with, you know, missing some games for Ole Miss and he's had some injury history stuff. But even then, at worst, this man's DeMarcus Lawrence to me. So, The idea that Princely Umanmiele off of a process, like he's getting knocked because of a 40. No. What is he supposed to do? Like turn around, like when they throw a pick, you want a Shamar Stewart so he can chase down so-and-so, you know, for 50 yards. Like, what are we talking about here? Just put on the tape. Anyway, my final Ole Miss eye catcher for spring football, I'm going to go on the defensive side. Mainly because I could stick with the offense. Offense is really what's been catching my eye all spring. But I'm going to go on the defensive side. I'm going to go to linebacker. I love the hoof test. I use Yancey's old word, the hoof test, on the hoof. And on the hoof, I like Andrew Jones, who's the highest graded of all the transfers they added. He looks the part. Jaden Yates, little skinnier, same with Taj Chambers from Missouri State that I thought they would be. But explosive, the athleticism, the pass rushing component that both of them could add as far as from the second level of the defense. Those linebackers look really good. Of all those guys, though, I wanted to highlight Andrew Jones because if you're trying to think of a Chris Poo-Paul replacement, what it's supposed to look like, that's what it's supposed to look like. Like he's built like a brick shit house. Forgive me, my God. I still say bad words. I swore I wouldn't cuss this week. Built like a brick Crap House,
yes.
Well graded last year at Grambling, but feels a need specifically for what his play style and build is, because he looks the most like what Chris Poupaw would look to me at that mic. TJ Dotter is going to be running this defense. I fully understand that, but the others are more in that athletic freak mold where you got Tyler Banks, and who's had a good spring. Tyler Banks deserves some credit, had a good spring. I still have questions about his lateral movement, but Andrew Jones, he's one that's really jumped off. I mean, just jacked to shreds and makes plays, mean as hell. Sorry, God. That's what you want. That's what you want from a linebacker. You know what I mean? He looks like a linebacker's linebacker.
It's good. I like that.
Thank you.
Last one, I'm going to go back to offense. Daquan Wright's body looks different, and I mean that in a good way. He just looks more like an SEC tight end right now, if that makes sense. He's really impressive looking, and we talked to him the other day. It's hard to like pinpoint. He looks a little leaner. He just looks, and it's not saying that he didn't look great last year. But he looks like a guy now who is ready to be like a number one tight end. And, I know they brought in Haas, and, you talk about guys who look normal. That's a guy who also looked very normal.
It was like he rolled off the couch and just said, yeah, I'm going to go catch some passes for your old Miss Rebels today.
Yeah.
There's no way he's 6'3".
Yeah, no. He came up and I was like, really? That's him?
That's not 6'3". And I appreciate that he's like, my man's dealing with the balding. You know, he's got the receipt and he don't care. He's like him and Brock Bowers. I love this about tight ends. Brock Bowers was the same way. No, I'm just going to let it do what it does. You know what I mean? I'm just here for ball and I'm just here to catch balls and chew tobacco. You know, and I'm all out of tobacco. But yeah, he looks like a dude. I love that pick of Daquan Wright. If you think about just eye test guys, though,
yeah,
Percy Lewis is a huge human being.
Yes, my God.
I mean, and he's been playing. He's been in the starting lineup whenever, you know, Diego Pounds, all those injured guys have stepped out. He's one of the first ones that they plug in there, and he is a massive human being. But as far as just looking better, kind of having a different look about him, Cam East has a different look about him. He looks like an SEC offensive lineman. And if not this year, win for Cam East. So that's another guy that they're leaning on that needs to be a swing tackle for him, could emerge as a starter for them if he takes advantage of the reps he's getting because of these injuries up front. But those are the eye-catching rebels so far for us, me and Michael Katz, for Ole Miss football this spring. And this has been Talk of Champions. Before we jump out of here, I want to ask you about baseball. What is your number one takeaway from the Kentucky series and being number six, this team, its longevity? Do you believe that this Ole Miss baseball team is barreling towards the postseason, or do you have warning signs for any Ole Miss fans out there?
I think that, like, I know this is a top 10 team right now in D1 baseball and stuff. Like, I don't know where they end up in terms of hosting and all that stuff. I feel pretty confident this is a postseason team. I did not feel that way this time the last couple of years. I think the thing that sticks out for me is like, this team's got guts, man. Like they get down, they get in these bad situations. Like the last couple of years, those things would have spiraled away from them. And that has not been the case this year. This team has battled back. Are they frustrating with runners in scoring position? Yes. Every fan on Twitter will tell you that they need to get better at that. But they just kind of keep themselves in games. They have timely hitting. They'll make some really nice plays in the outfield. Again, you brought up that throw from Sanford, Isaac Humphrey threw out a guy over the weekend as well. Ryan Moorman made some incredible catches out there in left as well.
Didn't love Mike bunting Ryan Moorman.
That was
Let me just set this up, okay? I don't – me and Mike are good. I like Mike. He's a good enough dude. But really, you're batting Ryan Moorman fourth. It's a 1-1 game. And you're half of the eight. Runners on first and second, nobody out. And you bunted Ryan Moorman. Sometimes it's like Mike just defaults back to old Mike Bianco stuff, and he can't help himself. But what in the fridge was that, Mike? Come on, right? Just let him swing. Let him swing. Let him swing through. There's not a better statistical opportunity other than letting him swing through to get a run in. I want three opportunities with a man in scoring position rather than two. What are we doing? Sorry.
When that happened, I literally said to myself, oh, no.
And you're like, oh God, Ginger Shrek's going to be there. And they're like, what was Mike doing? You know,
but it's, I just knew the tweets were going to be ugly.
Oh, well, I mean,
and that's what it comes down to.
That's what it comes down to. Cause at the end of the day, what are we, if not our Twitter mentions, right? Mine are ugly.
I'm still always trying to rise above my Twitter mentions.
See, for me, I just lean into it at this point. You know, like I can't tell when people are talking shit, if they're talking to me or they're talking to other people. You know, they've added into the thing. That's all accessible anyway. But what is not accessible is Talk of Champions, where here we are an Ole Miss sports safe haven. And Billy and Body was not with me today. Life got to him, but Michael Katz was. And Michael Katz stuff can be read at the Daily Journal, the Tupelo Daily Journal, your hometown paper. I got a Daily Journal right here hanging up on my wall. Now, you can't go really like, can you still buy Daily Journal? Of course you can. Yeah. But the probably where most of you are getting your Daily Journal is not to be hung on the wall. It's probably online. So thedailyjournal.com, djournal.com, Michael Katz on Twitter, all the social media platforms. One of the very best that does it. I love the guy. I think he's awesome. I think he's funny. I hate his baseball team, but he's a good dude. So
make sure finally lost. So
congratulations. The Braves are 1-8. Hey, the Braves got postponed on Sunday. And all I thought was, oh, good.
Can't lose.
Don't even care. It's bad. You know, when you're an adult, I'm so glad they won in 2021, Cats. It freed me. Okay. At a 1-8 start in 2016, we were 0-9 in 2016. I was in St. Louis for the ninth loss of the 0-9. To watch them play the Cardinals, talking crap to all the Cardinals fans. They laughed as I made fun of the Braves. That team had Jace Peterson, and I love him. My guy David Ross was starting on opening day. You know, like,
yikes.
All I'm saying, 1-8, you can't hurt me anymore. I've seen my title. I'll still sport the brand, you know. But the Dodgers, you're living a charmed, spoiled existence right now. You specifically. Yep. Oh, they finally lost. Bitch.
Twice.
Sorry. But like, twice. But, but here's the thing. They're spending billions of dollars deferring all this money. They get Shohei and Mookie, my guy Freddie Freeman. They're bad for the sport. That's all I'm saying.
Nick Castellanos hit a grand slam, and I was like, oh no, what natural disasters are coming?
Have you seen the stock market?
Nick Castellanos.
It's been Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on Twitter. Sign up at the Ole Miss Spirit, OleMissSpirit.com, and a fit of on three for just $1. We're talking Ole Miss sports all day, every day, just like we do whenever we do Talk of Champions. My thanks to my peoples, Riverland Roofing, RiverlandRoofing.com, 662-644-4297, Billy Landis and Company. Few, if any, are doing more for Ole Miss in the NIL space. Give them some love, Riverland Roofing. I love them to death. Michael Katz, you're the man. I appreciate you, my friend. We'll do it again.
Appreciate you, man.
If you work in quality control at a candy factory, you know strict safety regulations come with the job. It's why you partner with Grainger. Grainger helps you find the high-quality and compliant products your business needs to inspect, detect, and help correct issues. And the sweetest part is, everyone gets a product that's as safe to eat as it is delicious. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.